had held her long.
All right, guys. What's up? My name is Luke Erickson, and I am on staff with InterVarsity Christian Fellowship, which is kind of, it's a college ministry, and I do that over at Lincoln Land Community College. So if any of you guys are like thinking about going to Lincoln Land in the future, come and see me. I would love to talk to you. But tonight, we're going to continue on with this series called The House of God, right? And can anybody tell me what were, I know you guys have had two messages so far. There's a pop quiz. It's the summer. I know you guys hate quizzes. You know, it's not going to be a hard one. Can anybody name one of the two topics already that you guys have talked about? You guys remember? Huh? Anyone? Bueller? You guys don't know that reference. Oh, somebody did. Somebody got it. All right. So you guys, if I'm right, we talked about like the church, right? So community, yeah? Yeah?
Baptism,
right? Yeah. And well done. And how cool was it? One of us, Sam, right, got baptized today. That was so cool. I was so excited to see that. And I really do. I think that that is something that we should celebrate as a community, as a church, when we see people from amongst our midst that are saying, yes, I want to be a part of this. I want to live my life the way that Jesus asked me to. And so tonight, what we're going to dive into is the subject of Scripture and how does the Bible play a role in this house of God. But before we do that, I'm gonna try and get you guys talking a little bit. I interact with my audiences in my talk. Okay, so I have a question for you guys. Have you ever been disoriented before in your life? Has there ever been something like that caused you to be disoriented? All right, so I'm going to tell you a story, and then I want you to turn to the person next to you, and I know you guys are like, which one? It's okay. If you need three, that's fine, but talk to the person next to you and tell them a story about the time that you were disoriented. So, I mean, it could be a dizzy bat experience, right, at those games where you kind of like, you know, you're on a bat and then you try and like go out and find something. Or it could be you just like were going up for a rebound and you got nailed in the face with a basketball. My story is when I was 5 years old, my parents took us on this amazing like tour of the American West. Okay. And so we went to like Mount Rushmore and we saw Old Faithful, which is this crazy big geyser and all this stuff. Well, that included a rodeo, okay? So I'm 5 years old, and they have all the kids come out there, and we're going to try and rope a calf, or like, I don't know. I was five. I don't remember the whole story. All I remember is I was the smallest one out there, and so they came, and they put me at the front, which is, they think they're giving me an advantage, but really it just means that all the kids back here are going to trample me. Which is exactly what happened when they said, all right, let's go and try and like rope this calf. And I came back to the stands with one shoe. My parents were like, where's the other shoe? I was like, I don't know. I was disoriented, right? Because I had gotten run over by seriously like 50 kids. So turn to a friend here. Tell them your name if you don't know them. And share maybe your own story of how you were disoriented at some point in your life.
Thank you.
All right, I can tell we've got some good stories out there, good stories. So if, I'm going to ask, so what is anyone brave enough to share their disoriented? All right, we got one right here. Stand up, just yeah, you're good. Oh, man. Ah, did you break anything? Like, is your face okay? Okay, well, that's probably wise. Yeah, getting hit in the face with a fastball will do that to you. Anybody else? What's another we got back here? You got chucked. Like give me some. Ooh, yeah, that's no good. That is disorienting. It's disoriented. What's one last story? One last disorient. Okay, you were really excited. You even before we started, I said dis, and you were like, I got it. So what's up?
So I was playing football.
Uh-huh. Oh, man. Yeah, so a lot of sports stories. For those of you who are apprehensive to play sports, I'm sure that really, you never want to play sports again. That's okay. All right. It's all right. I love sports. It's okay. It's not a knock at sports. We'll talk about this a little bit later. I know a lot of you are like, oh, yeah, so scripture's disorienting. No. We'll check back in on the disorienting part a little bit later. I promise you, it ties in. But we want to talk about, so why Scripture? Why do you think that the Bible is important? And so I'm going to lay out, I think there's, I forgot to count. I think there's five reasons. I'm pretty sure there's five. So the first one is that, and I took really bad notes, Mara, so when I say one, you just hit that. So, Scripture is the most trustworthy way that God reveals himself to us, okay? And so, Scripture is, God, that's one of the ways that God just tells us who he is. So we have there's going to be each bullet point, I've got a scripture reference to it. So, I was thinking. So, John 1 says, in the beginning, the Word, okay, and when John is talking about the Word here, he's talking about Jesus. And he's saying, in the beginning, the Word already existed. So, he's talking about in the beginning of the world, the Word, Jesus, already existed. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. He existed in the beginning with God, and God created everything through him, and nothing was created except through him. The Word gave life to everything that was created, and his life brought light to everyone. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness cannot extinguish it. So I know a lot of you are like, what is he talking about there? But that's the beauty of Scripture, is that we can dig into this, and God begins to reveal more and more about who he is and why he's here, why we are here to be able to worship him. So the second point is that Scripture is a way that God shows us how to live. So not only does God reveal more about himself, about who God is in the Bible, but God also helps us understand, what am I here for? What's my purpose? What do I need to do on this earth? And so there's a really cool passage of Scripture. It's in the book of Matthew. And there's three whole, so the way that the Bible is laid out is there's a bunch of books that are written by a ton of different authors, but they were inspired by God to write these things down. And so when we talk, there's an Old Testament and there's a New Testament. I know some of you are like, hey, I know this. But some of you guys are like, no, this is new information. This is helpful. So I'm just going to kind of give you some of the basics here. So there's an Old, there's a New Testament. At the beginning of the New Testament, there's four books, okay? It's Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And these four books are basically telling the story of Jesus' life from four different perspectives. And so it's really neat. You can actually, there's something where you can line up all of the stories, because sometimes some of these stories actually take place in multiple different books of the Gospels. We call those four books the Gospels. And this is something where not only do we really see who God is through Jesus living that out in those four books, the Gospels, but we also see Jesus telling us, who am I supposed to be? How am I supposed to live? And so, Jesus, I would really encourage you, if you have not read this section of Scripture, it's Matthew chapter 5 through Matthew chapter 7. It's called the Beatitudes. So basically, you're like, the Beatitudes. It's basically, how are you supposed to live your life as a Christian? It's the how-to. And at the end of that, Jesus says, everyone who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on a rock. The rain fell and the floods came. The winds blew and beat on that house. But it did not fall because it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine but does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on sand. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and the beat against the house and fell. And it was, it says, and great was the fall of it. It's kind of a weird wording there. But basically, it was obliterated, right? So you've got a wise person builds their house on what? You know, we're talking about the house of God, right? And so a wise person builds their house on these words that Jesus is saying, and he puts them into action. It's one thing just to hear something, but a whole other thing then to put it into action. And so the purpose, Jesus is saying here, the purpose of Scripture, the purpose of Matthew and Mark and Luke and John writing these things down was that we would actually put them into action, that we would read them, and then that we would do them. And so he's saying to you, like, life is kind of like this storm, right, that comes. And this is going to be a persistent theme here in this talk tonight. So life is a storm. Life is not always smooth sailing. And I know there's a lot of you in here right now that are saying, you don't know the half of it, right? Life can be difficult. But if you are building your life, if you're building your house on a firm foundation of Scripture, and what God says, then you'll be able to withstand those storms of life. If you don't, it's going to fall apart. It's hard. You cannot get through life without a firm foundation that we find in Scripture. So the third thing that we have is that Scripture is inspired by God. So I talked about earlier that it's inspired by God, and it's a filter we use to discern truth and to orientate us to what is right. So we talked earlier, you guys had all these stories about being disoriented, right? And usually that came with some sort of impact, or like there was something that happened that kind of threw you. Before, you were seeing things straight, and then something happened and you were just in a fog. You're like, whoa, this is not, I can't see straight. I can't do this. So how many of you guys have ever flown in a plane? We got a lot of people. How many of you guys have ever flown a plane? Like the pilot? Are you serious? Like for real, for real? So you will know this much better than I do. So if you tell me, like, hey, actually, feel free to correct me, okay? So we've got a pilot in the audience. I did not expect that. I'm not going to lie. So when it comes to, and actually there's a verse that we'll share before this. So it's in 2 Timothy, it says, all Scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we are wrong and teaches us to do what is right. God uses it to prepare and equip his people to do every good work. But so this pilot analogy. So if you're in a plane, what's your name? Paige? Okay, so Paige, if I say anything wrong, you tell me, okay? All right, so Paige, so if you're looking at,
you know, the like you're in the cockpit.
This is what you're looking at. And so all of these things up here, these are your instruments, right? Okay, so these are your instruments. And Paige, what's the point of having instruments? That you don't die, okay? Yes, Paige is 100% correct, okay? The point of the instruments is that you don't die. And so the reason being is that, like, right, so how do we have, like, balance or that we kind of know what's up and what's down, right? There's these little things that's actually in your ears that kind of give us our equilibrium, right? And so oftentimes, like, I know there was a lot of hands up here when you guys said you had been on a plane before. So you notice sometimes when you go up in that plane, your ears pop, right? You kind of get a little bit of that sensation. So what's happening is something called barotrauma. Do you know that word? Is that right? No. Okay. So barotrauma. Now I'm going to read this part because these are big words. When the eustachian tube in the middle of your ear is blocked due to altitude or pressure changes, air cannot be equalized and a vacuum occurs that stretches the eardrum and causes pain and occasional fluid. This can lead you to be disoriented. And so if it's happening to you, it's also happening to a pilot, right? When you're going up, and I know lots of you guys are like, I'm never flying again, this is terrible. But no, I promise you, pilots have gone through so many hours of training on this, and they have these instruments, right, that are here that even when I'm disoriented, that these instruments are there to be able to guide you and to be able to tell you what is true. Because there are times when everything is free and clear and they're looking out, I've got a good friend who is a pilot. It wasn't Paige. We didn't talk before this. But I've got a good friend. So I called him up this week and I was like, hey, walk me through this, right? And he says, yeah. So oftentimes he said, right now during the summer, oftentimes there it will be clear. And so he said, it's like you're flying with your head out the window. Like you can do that. You're fine. Not actually, like you don't stick your head out the window, but like you can see things, right? And so it makes things so much easier when you can see what's in front of you. Like for those of you who can drive a car, it's much easier to drive when you can see what's in front of you. Same thing when you're flying, apparently. But that's not always the case. Sometimes he said it's like you're flying in the middle of the night, you're flying in clouds. And he calls it, and what pilots call it, the soup, okay? And so you're flying in the soup. And he said, sometimes you don't, like, when you're up in that, then you can get disoriented, and you cannot know, like, your body actually starts to lie to you and to tell you, you think that, all right, you've made this turn, and you think you've equaled out, but you haven't. You're still making the turn. And so, like, you're wanting to, if you trust your body, you will die, right, Paige? Like, if you trust exactly, like, what has been going on, like, what you think is happening, you will nosedive. But these pilots it's ingrained in them to trust their instruments. So I'm going to show you guys a video that kind of hopefully will explain this to you. It's not a plane crash, don't worry, it's not what this is, but so basically this is going to show you a little bit of what the soup is. So Mara, you can play that. So they're above the cloud level right now, but they're ascending, they're descending to be able to land the plane, hopefully not crash, right? And so what the pilot is doing right now is they're trusting their instruments, because right now you can see things, but you know you're going into the clouds, right? You're going into, quote unquote, the soup. And so you'll see as they descend, like, what's happening right now? Where are we going? I don't know. If I was there, I'd be like, I'm freaked out. But this pilot is focused on his or her instruments, right? And so because of that, they're able to know, okay, I'm at 1,000 feet. I'm at 500 feet. So if you listen closely, I think they start to tell you, like, exactly how the bar is down going. And they're also trusting the instruments because it's not just how high you are. It's also, like, you know, the tilt. But as you can see, like without instruments, this person, whoever is flying this plane, would not be able to land this. But because they're focused on the instruments, and they know, okay, there is the landing.
100 above, 200.
So
minimum 100.
They nailed it. Okay, that's 20. Perfect. Right where they're supposed to. So how in the world would you do that without instruments? You couldn't do it. There's no way, okay? So, all right, for those of you, you might be like firing a little bit quicker than some of the rest of us. Like, what is happening here is, like, oftentimes in life, things happen, right? Sometimes we're in the soup of life, where there has been a tragedy that has happened, okay? Maybe you've lost a loved one. Maybe you failed a test. Maybe you had a bad breakup. Maybe, I don't know, there's all sorts of different things that can happen in life that can just disorient us, that can throw us off, that can make us feel like we're in that haze, like we're in that soup. But what is the thing that is going to help us, that is going to help orientate us of what is true and what is right? Because let me tell you, there are so many things out there that are trying to tell you this is what's true, this is what's right. Whether it's, you know, 5 million videos on YouTube, just like actually that video, or whether it's, you know, something on your Instagram feed or, you know, something you saw on TikTok or... it could even be something your friend told you. There's all sorts of things that are vying for your attention to tell you what is true and what is not. But friends, let me tell you, the thing that you can trust is God. And what is going to tell you what is true about God, who God is, his love for you, and his desire for what way you should go, is in Scripture. And so, as we see in this next point here, is that Scripture does not promise that everything will go right or that our lives will be easy, okay? That is one of the biggest lies, is that people think, oh, just because I become a Christian, then life's easy going. I'm fine. That's not the case, friends. It's tough. It's hard. And in fact... one of the things I really love about Scripture is that we see people in Scripture that are writing Scripture that have these moments where they're mad at God. And so one of, this, it feels weird to say this, but one of my favorite passages of Scripture is Psalm 13. And so this psalm starts out that it says, "O Lord, how long will you forget me? Forever? How long will you look the other way? How long must I struggle with anguish in my soul, with sorrow in my heart every day? How long will my enemy have the upper hand? Turn and answer me, O Lord, my God. Restore the sparkle to my eyes or I will die. Don't let my enemies gloat, saying, 'We have defeated him.' Don't let them rejoice at my downfall." So right now, in these first four verses, what's the general tone that we're getting here? Pretty upset, right? It's pretty accusatory towards God, saying, "God, how could you let this happen?" I know for me in my life, one of the hardest things I ever went through is I was married. I lived down in Kentucky, which is, you know, if anybody has lived in Kentucky before, that's okay. There's nothing wrong with Kentucky, but it's different than Illinois, okay? And my wife at the time, we went through a divorce. She told me that she wanted out of this marriage, and so I'm in a foreign place, not foreign as in the United States, but it's different from what I was used to here in Illinois. And now I'm all alone. I'm in the soup. I'm struggling, and I'm saying, God, why? Why would you put me here? It's difficult. At that time, I wanted to go in 5 million different directions. None of them were good. And I cried out these four verses to God day in and day out. God, why have you forgotten me? But friends, the beautiful thing about Scripture is that it's not just something where the psalmist leaves us here, because this is called a psalm of lament. And lament is something where you're crying out to God, why is this happening in my life? But one of the beautiful things about Scripture is that it turns you back to what you know is true. So these first four verses have been the psalmist crying out and saying, why, God? Why have you put me in this situation? Just like I was in that. Just like anybody who is flying a plane without instruments. If you're flying blind, that's where the term comes from. But the last two verses, friends, this is what is true. This is where the psalmist orientates themselves back to the truth. It says, but I trust in your unfailing love. I will rejoice because you have rescued me. I will sing to the Lord because he is good to me. And guys, if you are in a situation like that, let me tell you, this was not the first time that the psalmist had gone to God. This is not the first time the psalmist had read the scrolls, right, of what is true, of God's word. This comes from someone who has saturated themselves in God's word, who daily has gone to God's word. And even in the midst of those things, those trying things in life, the loss of a loved one, the traumatic breakup, anything that may come your way, if you are rooted in Scripture, you'll be able to come back to this and say, but God, I trust you. Because the last thing that Scripture does, and not the last thing, the last thing I'm going to talk about, there's so many amazing things that Scripture does, but it says, Scripture is a way for God to comfort us and love us, even in the midst of life's storms. So again, in the Psalms, it says, this is out of Psalm 9, 9 through 10, it says, the Lord is a shelter for the oppressed, a refuge in times of trouble. Those who know your name trust in you, for you, O Lord, do not abandon those who search for you. And guys, that is where we can come back. We can see in Scripture, this is what is true. Even when it doesn't feel like it. Even when there's things that are going on in life that tell us something totally different, we need to look at our instruments. We need to look and see Scripture and know what is true. Because that will not let us down. That will guide us in the ways that we should go. And it's in that we can know who God is and what he wants for us in our lives. And obviously, it's not just through Scripture alone, right? The reason that this series is called The House of God is because there's many pillars in a house. And so while you're going through this, lean on Scripture, but that's not your only tool, okay? You have community, right, that we've already talked about. We have the reason, you know, so Sam, like all these people that have said, congratulations, we're so excited that you got baptized today. That shouldn't just be some hollow, like, hey, I'm excited for you today, but tomorrow when you come to me with problems, I don't want to hear it, right? We need to be a community that come together, and the advice that we give one another should be pointing back here to Scripture. It should come out of what we have learned through what the Bible says. And so last thing that I would just encourage you guys with is just if you're going through something right now, to really turn to Scripture, but also to tell someone, to talk to somebody, But even if you're not going through something, as I said before, when I put up that Psalm of Lament before the Psalm 13, the psalmist had already, like, you can't just say, oh, I'm going to turn to Scripture only when times are bad. The way that Scripture comes through is when you have been in it day in and day out. And so when those hard times come, you already know what is true, and you're able to pull that from memory. You're able to recite, hey, no, this is what God says is true, not what I'm feeling right now or what somebody else tells me right now. This is what I know is what is true. So how do you do that? And so I would say, for those of you guys who have a smartphone, which I'm just going to throw it out there, it's probably all of you. So on here is something called the Bible app, which is super helpful. Like, it's the YouVersion Bible app. You can download it on your phone. And not only does it have tons of different translations, so there are a lot of different translations, but some of them actually are a little bit more literal. Like, this is what the original Greek and Hebrew says, which is really good. It also is a little wonky English. So sometimes there's some that really, help you to have really solid, it makes sense. So what I used today was the New Living Translation, which will help you. Luke might encourage you to use a different one, like the ESV is another really solid, that's more of a literal translation. So there's so many translations. Ask somebody what a good translation would be. There's tons of, reading plans on there. And so what those reading plans do, sometimes they're like little devotionals that they kind of give you just like a few paragraphs to read, and then they'll give you a few verses. And what I love to do on that is then it says read more. And you can read the context that those verses come out of. So that could be something cool. Today, I read you a lot out of the book of Psalms. There are 150 of those. It's going to take a while. That's fine. Read one a day. It'll take you 5 months. That's okay. Just read through a psalm. Proverbs is a little bit more condensed. There's 31 of those. So one in a month, you'll be through it. But being able to read through Scripture and make that a part of what you know and is helping you to live your life. Check out Bible 101 this week. The last one of those. That Luke's leading on, was it Thursday? Guys, this is the way that I'm telling you that as all of the messages that are out there today that are telling you all sorts of different things, this is your instrument. These are your instruments. This is what you can know what is true, is to filter it through Scripture. So I'm going to pray for us, and then I'll dismiss us, God. God, I just want to lift up all of these high school students to you tonight. God, I want to thank you for each one of them. I want to thank you for bringing them here tonight from whatever situation that they're going through in life right now. God, I just want to affirm their decision to come here tonight. And God, I pray that they would be searching your Scriptures to find what is true. And that, God, that they would look to your word as their instrument to guide them throughout the soup of life. That they can know what is true. And, God, that you can reveal yourself to them through your word. And God, we pray that for tonight, for this coming week, for this summer, and even as they go into next school year, wherever that may be. God, I pray that you would go with them, that they would be aware of your presence as they go out tonight, and that they would just encourage each other in the midst of this. God, we love you, and it's in your name we pray. Amen. All right, guys, so that's all we have for you tonight. Remember, there is no youth group next week. This is 4th of July. Meet back here in 2 weeks for the next message on the house of God. So thanks for being here tonight. Appreciate you guys. We've waited for you.